Future-proofing your organization with Lean. The series consists of interviews with a number of leading-edge group practitioners who will share some of their insights into Lean best practices and how your organization can sustain the benefits of Lean over the long term.
Lean can provide a sustainable competitive advantage by streamlining the core process and value streams within an organization with a positive change in mindset and an empowered workforce. However, what are the pitfalls and challenges associated with a Lean transformation? My name is Joe Ahern, CEO of the Leading Edge Group, and I'm talking today with Pat Cullinan, our Senior Transformation Manager. Pat will help identify the challenges that are faced in such a program and discuss the key attributes to a successful transformation. Welcome, Pat, to our Lean series of podcasts. You might give our listeners a profile on yourself and why you joined the Lean movement.
Hey, Joe. Pleasure to join you on the podcast today. So my own background, you might hear in the accent, is I'm from Cork originally, and it's gotten washed out a bit between working internationally over the years. I'm based in Galway now and work all over the country. So I have a degree in mechanical and manufacturing engineering, and I trained with Toyota in the University of Kentucky. I did program and project management with Stanford. I also have a master black belt in Six Sigma. So I have over 22 years of practicing Lean in all types of companies, from service through to financial, through to logistics, medical device, pharma, biotech. And I started my career in quality. And what drew me to the Lean movement was an interest in improving the problems I was seeing. Because I found that a lot of my role within the quality function was reporting on problems, and I was drawn to try and root cause and fix them and improve them. So I saw Lean was a good way of improving the performance of the companies I was working with at the time. So I got frustrated with reporting it and wanted to fix it.
Very good. But Pat, why do you think people become so passionate about Lean?
I think it's because they can see the engagement that people get, and they can see the power of it. Like a million little things adds up to a lot, right? Lean is quite different from the traditional project-based approach to process improvement. Project-based approach has its place, but it tends to get it tends to lose traction over time. Whereas Lean is a very good way of engaging every person every day in improving the way the work gets done. So I think that's why people get so passionate about it, because it has a culture piece as well as a tools piece, as well as a change management piece to it. And people like that. I think people enjoy getting the chance to make their job easier to do and to affect the score of the game, affect how the companies do.
And why do companies typically embark on a program of this size? And as well, complexity.
Yeah, so usually companies find that the project-based approach that they're taking to change doesn't deliver the step change in results. And it doesn't deliver the change of culture they're looking for. As we face a lot of challenges in how we run our business, not just recently, but over the years, the challenge is that the problems we face come at us faster and faster, and the problems are more and more complex, especially as we're moving up the value chain within the world service provider or product provider. What we're doing is more and more complex. So we need everybody in the company involved in managing the business. And business results don't always materialize from a project-based approach. As all that complexity that's going on, that tends to drive a negative headwind on the company and soak up any project gains that you get from individual-based projects. And so I think that company leaders are disillusioned with the project-based approach, and they look to deploying Lean and engaging the staff to drive improvements and change the company culture and retain that competitive advantage.
And what type of commitment and support is required by a client to deliver a successful and, I suppose, sustainable Lean transformation?
Yeah, well, I think it's key that the company appoint an in-house transformation leader. And this person doesn't have to be a lean expert, but they must be credible in the organization. They need to have a track record of delivering commitments, and they need to be well-respected and networked. And what we do with that key person then is make sure that we connect in with the right people within the organization so that we are working on the right things to deliver the right results for the business. So I think that's a big mistake that people make normally, is that they don't allocate someone responsible for it and just hope that the external consultants will run it all for them. And that doesn't tend to work very well. You need someone that knows the ins and outs of the business, knows the challenges in the business, and can help you connect up with the right person at the right point in the program.
And what would you feel are the first steps in any transformation?
Well, I think step one is looking at what are the business priorities for the coming 12 to 18 months and ensuring that you align the lean transformation to support those business priorities. Because lean needs to deliver business results. That's ultimately the goal here. We're not doing it for the fun of it. So it's key that you have that alignment. And secondly, it also helps to take stock of the current status of lean in the company to know what to build on and what is missing. So what is going well within the company? You know, do they have a very clear deployment of what the measures are? Does everyone in the company know if they're winning or losing? Do they have good communications or poor communications? What is the tool set or knowledge base of the people in the company? So having a short review of that in an audit format can be very informative. If you bring that together with the goal or strategy for the company for the next 12 to 18 months, and then marry those together to create the alignment of the lean transformation, then I think you're off to a good start.
And where does culture fit in then, Pat?
So culture, I think the easiest definition for culture is it's just the way we do things around here, right? That's the easiest definition of culture. People get very convoluted about culture and make it very complicated. And I think it's been made worse over the years by the amount of materials that's been printed and published about culture that's non-actionable. Whereas lean is a very actionable approach to transforming the culture. Culture is how we behave and what we do, right? So when you walk into any organization, right, if people turn up on time, if they're prepared for meetings, if they follow through on their commitments, if they maintain the trackers or graphs that they're supposed to maintain, that's how you can get a good read on culture. So lean and culture, the culture part of lean is making sure that you define, well, what are the behaviors we want? How do we want people behaving at the workplace? And then how do we recognize and reinforce when we see people doing the right thing? And how do we drive those behaviors within the company and align those with the results we want? So I think that's what culture is. It's how we do things around here.
But do you think people talk a lot about culture, Pat, but when it comes to the rubber hitting the ground, that they're mainly interested in financial savings or financial improvements and using a tool set as distinct from change of behaviors?
Yeah, well, I think that ultimately people don't realize that the employees are as interested in the financial results of the business as the business leaders are, because they're dependent on the company for their income to pay their mortgage, to pay the car loan, you know, to buy the books for school. So the employees have as much or maybe more vested interest in the performance of the company as the business owner does. True. So the culture piece then, right, is just simply allowing and enabling those employees to help the business survive and thrive so that they have a job to go to next year. It sounds very simple when I say it like that, but I think that is the key component. It's, you don't have to be at loggerheads about it. The culture is, would you like everybody to run the business the way you would if you were there every day? Yeah. So you want everybody running their part of the business as if it was their own. And if we can put a system in place that allows them to see how they're doing and allow them to make the course correction at their local level, then they do start running the business their own way, and they're much more engaged at work, and you start to get the business results.
I suppose a big issue then is leading on from that is sustainability and how to sustain a lean journey. Once the consultants have left or the external supports are no more, how does one sustain a lean journey from a client perspective?
Yeah. Well, I guess my definition of success when working with a client is that do a good enough job that they don't need me anymore. That's my job, is to put myself out of a job, right? Because there's always other work to be done. So sustaining a lean journey, I think the trick to that is connecting the business results to department results and the measures looked at daily, weekly, and monthly, and then using the appropriate lean tools to drive improvement where the results are off target. So you need to build the lean into the regular cadence of business reviews and meetings so that you avoid it being a flavor of the month problem. Like Peter Drucker was often quoted as saying, you can't manage what you can't measure. But what he meant was that you don't know whether or not you're successful unless success is defined and tracked. And we pay attention to what our bosses pay attention to at work. That's how it works. So what you need to do is you need to build in the tracking of the performance of each group, department, and business to the management schema of meetings, and make sure that there's very little wiggle room or fluff to just waffle about how things are going. You can see if you're succeeding, you're winning, or you're losing. And what you need to do then, the conversation is, well, what are we doing to close the gap? Well, we're doing an initiative here, we're doing a small little project, or we're involved, we're working, two departments are working together, etc. And so by building it into the regular management meeting system, that's how you sustain the lean journey over time. Does that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose if you, based on all your experiences, Pat, of working on many different transformations, both here and overseas, what are the main reasons for transformations to fail, do you think?
I think where it's seen as lean is something that one department is responsible for, and or it's not aligned with the business needs. Another major reason is when company uses a project-based approach. So they just say, well, we're going to do a bunch of projects. You know, we're going to do a bunch of green belt projects, and that will change the performance of this business. It won't. It's a good way to introduce the concepts. It's a good way to get some quick wins, but it won't change the way your business is performing overall. But it is a good way to like put your toe in the water and try it out, but it won't change the way your business is performing overall. So you need to take an approach where everyone understands what the business goals are, what success looks like for their team or their department. And then you need to enable them to make the process changes needed to deliver those results. As I was saying earlier, the products and services that we provide now are more and more complex than they were 20 years ago, right? We're not doing cable harnesses and basic manufacture anymore. It's much more complicated. So no one person or no one management team can make all the decisions to correctly drive those businesses. It's just too complicated. So you need each individual function and team understanding how are they doing against the business needs, and then driving their piece of it. So you need to build a system that drives that accountability and involvement of everybody. And people are smart, right? We have a very well-educated workforce. They'll make the changes if you let them see the score of the game and see how they can contribute, right? People are very capable. You engage them in the game, and they will contribute. And what they'll be doing is making the work easier to do, which by definition makes them more efficient, and therefore you free up capacity, you can do more business, right? That ultimately kicks out margin to the bottom line, and then the company's more sustainable, more successful, bonuses are paid, and there's a job next year. So I think that's where people need to look at, as opposed to just looking at, can we do a project to save $5,000? And then it gets lost in the procurement process. That $5,000 is washed out by some other mistake that's made elsewhere.
And finally, Pat, why have you and your team and your transformation team been so successful in delivering, I suppose, both financial and non-financial benefits to clients, resulting for these type of transformation programs?
I think it's because we want to see the client succeed in their business. We see our success in the client achieving their business goals. And I think that's a key differentiator. You get some companies just selling training or pre-packaged solutions, and they don't consider the context and specific problems faced by the client. So if you went in to see the doctor tomorrow, and as soon as you walked in the door, the doctor prescribed you medicine and said, there, that'll fix you, without ever asking you what was wrong with you, I think your confidence in that doctor would wane very quickly. So you need to diagnose before you prescribe. So you can't copy someone else's solution to their problem and expect it to solve your problems. You need to take the principles of lean. You need to customize them to fit your company. They need to fit the context of what's going on within your company at that point in time. And that way you can ensure you deliver on the business results.
Excellent, Pat. And thank you, Pat, for your time. And hopefully this podcast will be of benefit to our clients, and indeed those seriously looking at embarking on a lean transformation program.
To learn more about lean, please visit leadingedgegroup.com and follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook for updates on this podcast series or the wider lean industry. This podcast series was produced by Clodagh Zeb McCarthy for the Leading Edge Group and is available on all major podcast platforms.